we are friends, digging each other, taking time to talk it over.
Penis wrinkle, testicle crease.
Yeah.
We got good sound.
It's good as it's going to be.
Episode 108.
You got it.
Welcome back to the Lion's Den, ladies and gentlemen. The Lion's Den! We're in, guys.
Oh, wow. I was not ready for that.
I'm good. That's why I took it away from the mic, because I didn't want to blow your guys' minds too much.
Sick.
Please continue to rate and review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review, and we will definitely read it here on the podcast. If you notice, we haven't been reading reviews because you're not leaving fucking reviews. Review the pod. Also, if you want to watch us, go to YouTube, The Lion's Den with Brent Moore and Jason Collings. We also have a Clips channel, Lion's Den Clips. And as always, for your members-only content, patreon.com/thelionsdenpod. That's patreon.com/thelionsdenpod. Brent, what do we got coming up on the road?
That's right. Okay, we got Atlanta Punchline on June 24th to the 26th.
We're like a radio show now.
I know.
That's right. We're coming to Atlanta Punchline.
Watch out for the 405. There's an accident on the shoulder. And then July 9th and 10th, we're at Zanies Nashville. Nashville Zanies.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, Brent. And August 20th and 21st, Gotham Comedy Club, New York City.
Gotham Comedy Club. Don't forget, June 11th, I will be in Las Vegas at the South Point Casino for the Dirty at 12:30. Also, this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I think that's when this pod comes out.
Should be.
Yeah, this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, I will be in Chicago.
This weekend's Memorial Day
the
weekend.
Comedy Bar
out.
When we tape this. From when we release.
It's too much
to remember. Chicago Comedy Bar above Gino's Pizza. That's where I'll be Memorial Day weekend. Anything else? Oh, we are doing, and we will give you the date soon, a Lion's Den live show.
We're going to try it.
With our buddies at Don't Tell Comedy. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be, it'll probably be stand-up followed by kind of like a live podcast type of thing. We don't know if we're going to put it out officially, but it's, for now, it's going to be a live show. That'll be fucking amazing. So if you live in LA or the LA area, come out to that.
We'll keep you posted
on the date. It'll be probably June or July.
And as far as Mufasa members that are here in SoCal, does that apply to them?
All the tickets for everything is going to be in the description, all the live shows, except I don't think Gotham's on sale yet, but everything else should be up. And Atlanta Punchline, I don't think you can buy tickets yet.
Yeah, that's so weird. Like, how am I supposed to sell a ticket?
Yeah, the link is there, so maybe they
call your congressman. I'm just kidding.
Call Dr. Atlanta and fucking get some tickets.
You know who's in Atlanta?
Dollar
Sanjay Dollar. Gupta, the official CNN doctor. He's an Atlanta guy. Will has no fucking idea who
Sanjay.
I'm talking about.
You don't know who Sanjay Gupta is?
Law and Order, right? No.
He is the official physician that is on CNN.
Boring!
Yeah, I know.
No,
yeah,
I did. When you said, who lives in Atlanta, I said Donald Glover.
Well, a lot of people live there.
You're talking about the TV.
Yeah.
Speaking of boring, guess what I did yesterday? I got me a new refrigerator.
I wish I had one of those buttons that goes,
I got a fridge, baby, and I'm going to bore the shit out of you. So what's really in these days is what's called counter depth. All right. So my refrigerator that I got rid of, great refrigerator, Samsung, double door, stainless steel, water dispenser stopped working. So I thought this is a great excuse to buy a new refrigerator. However, the refrigerator that I had is standard depth, way too fucking big for my kitchen. So what I got, I know you guys are on the edge of your seat with this one. I got the counter depth, which makes it fit perfectly against the counter. And it's a Frigidaire. It's stainless steel. It matches my dishwasher. What did you guys do yesterday?
I had a bird die in my pool.
Really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I think I found him yesterday in the pool.
Oh.
And I was thinking, like, do birds have friends? Like, are they looking for them? I know crows do, because they're always fucking like 12 of them together.
Well, apparently birds need lifeguards because they're drowning in the pool.
I know.
Also, how shitty is it to be able to fly but not be able to swim?
Oh, that's true.
What superpower would you want?
Yeah,
Do you want to be Aquaman or the deep, if we're talking about the boys?
I found them while I was swimming, too. So I'm literally swimming and I go, fuck.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see him before you jumped in?
No, because he was behind that little thing.
He died while you were in the... He died. You could have saved him. Did you try to give him beak-to-beak resuscitation?
No, I didn't.
Live, Bert.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. But now I don't want to go in the pool. I don't know how that works. So somebody, let me know how long I have to wait to go into the pool again because a bird died.
Got a bird cooties?
Let me look it up.
Let me look it up.
I think the chlorine handles it. Bird died in the pool.
I mean.
Why do dirt, wait, when can you swim?
Oh,
finding
no.
a dead animal in the pool. This is from the CDC.
Solid. Good.
All right, great.
Oh, boom.
So most dead animals in pools do not pose a health risk to swimmers.
Thank boom. God.
If you find, what about comedians? Health risk to swimmers. If you find a dead animal in the pool, following the simple removal and disinfection steps below will ensure healthy swimming in the pool.
So Phelps should be okay to go back in.
Right.
Will Brent be okay?
Dead raccoons in pools, however, can pose health risks to swimmers.
It's raccoon.
Go ahead.
Yeah, raccoon.
Sorry. These, so it looks like.
Did you say bees?
Close the pool. Okay, so this is what they say to do. Follow the steps to remove the animal and disinfect the water. Mm. Close the pool to swimmers. Put on disposable gloves.
Didn't.
Use a net. use a net or bucket to remove the dead animal from the pool.
Did.
Double bag the animal in plastic garbage bags.
Didn't do it. Still out there on the sidewalk.
No.
Well, I was going to bury it, then I forgot.
Have a ceremony.
Hey, let's going to bury it.
We'll do up.
But then I realized my entire backyard is cement.
Yeah.
We'll do a Patreon bird funeral.
Oh, heck yeah.
Clean off any debris or dirt from the item used to remove the dead animal. Remove the gloves. Okay. Wash your hands. Raise the free chlorine concentration to or maintain it at 2 parts per million ppm. Maintain the pH levels at 7.5 or less. Keep the temperature at 77 degrees or higher. The free chlorine pH should remain at these levels for 30 minutes. Confirm that the filtration system is operating properly during this time.
Okay.
So that's pretty easy.
So we're just not swimming this year.
No, what you're going to need to do is call your brother, because wasn't your brother like amazing at like...
My older brother was a pool prodigy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the manager of Splash Pool too.
Interesting.
In the whole all of high school, I'll ask him what the hell any PP bullshit
all
means.
The PPs and the DDDs and the flea flea flea.
Also for us dumb guys, most germs carried by animals are killed by chlorine within minutes in a well-maintained pool.
Okay,
so chances are you're okay. I would like you. I would be nervous though. Like I'd probably want to double check. But oof.
Poor guy,
swimming with a dead thing.
Yeah, you know what I think
what
it
kind
is
of bird?
Because I got that whiffle, a finch? That whiffle, that whiffle fucking putting green,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking. Because this has never happened before. So I have this thing that I chip into, so white, that I chip into for my mm-hmm. pool. That's just this little, it costs $30. I'm not rich. But I think he probably thought that was grass or like land. And,
oh, so he went to land on
it? Yeah, and probably went, fuck! And then.
Yeah, but he's a bird. He could fly. As soon as I'm falling, I'm flapping my wings and I'm getting the fuck out of there. What I'm thinking happened is he may have died during flight and landed in the pool.
Yeah, that's
how do you die during, like, what, he had a heart attack?
Neighbors are shooting him with a BB gun? I don't know.
We could check him. He's out there. If he's not decomposed yet.
Yeah, we'll check him on.
I'll bring him in.
You know what? No. Let's do that for Patreon members. You're going to.
Okay, we'll go check out the bird.
Yeah, that's going to be our vloggy, vloggity, vlog, vlog.
Fuck, man. The way I swam when I ran into it, too, I went, and then I had that.
I can picture it.
And then I did the most bitch thing ever. I did a back doggy paddle like this, like splash, 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 splash. Like that until I got to the shallow end and I took a shower.
You mean it wasn't like graceful backstrokes? It was just like, no.
I wasn't like this and went, ooh, a bird. Fuck it. Hey, that's why swimmers would be okay, but comedians.
Oh
my hand went right because I was trying to do
laps.
Oh,
did you touch it?
Yeah. That's why I flipped out. I go, what the fuck feels like a furry testicle in my hand? Oh, it's a bird, a finch.
Oh, it was a finch?
I don't know. Dude.
Was it
I
a
don't
lark?
Know birds.
Was it a lark?
Only you would know birds. Somehow.
Yeah,
was it a rock and robin?
True. Well, look at it.
Deedle 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 deedle. Sing with me. Deedle 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 deedle. Nobody? Okay.
No.
You don't know the song?
I'm not going to sing that song.
Why not, dude?
Because we'll save it for the funeral.
Robbie's in the treetop.
Yeah, I felt bad for him.
Crying during that song. Can I want to give a shout out to a Pride member. Sarah Neuberger sent me a message. She was the one who sent the Nikes, the Jordans, and guess who they were for?
Yeah, for you. We knew that. I've never talked about shoes on here.
She commissioned an artist in Japan to do these shoes, and she wanted to mix like the beach and the martial arts vibe. And she had asked them to include a letter in the thing and he didn't do it. He's like, I'm a fucking artist. I'm not a writer. It's probably what he was thinking. You know what I mean?
I got a hooked penis.
But thank you so much for those. We finally found out who those were from, and I love them, and they're coming home with me, baby. So thank you so much.
I got a pretty cool clock about my hooked penis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a hooked penis.
Have you seen these clocks that they make out of old vinyl records, and they carve pictures out of them, and they add the things? We got one that's Brent, by the way, with an amazing head of hair.
Yeah, Will's first reaction, he goes, that's not you, is it? Go fuck yourself. I paid a lot of money for what's going to happen up here.
What's going to happen? We're forward thinking. And it's really cool. It's got a quote that he said, and he's got a hook for a hand. And it was very, very nice. Yeah, I'm not sure if the person that sent it made it or had it made, though. So if you sent that, let us know if you're the artist or you commissioned.
Yeah, and who did it, too, because we never seem to figure that out.
Oh, God, both of us, you know?
Well, dude, because I was so good yesterday, and I ate dinner early, and then didn't touch anything after, like, 5 p.m. But then this morning I made full bacon, eggs, everything bagel.
It's the bacon.
Like I had a family. Like I was about to be like, kids. Oh, that's right. Just me.
He's got four plates at the table.
Just me and a dead bird.
Sitting alone crying.
Just me in a t-shirt naked, sitting on my dining room.
The Will Ferrell bit on SNL by yourself. Clink, 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 clink.
Oh, fuck me.
It's the bacon, dude. You got to get faking.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get faking, dude.
Yeah, but I like bacon.
Yeah, but bacon's like the pig. Still good. Do you do turkey bacon or the straight up?
I actually don't mind turkey bacon. But the funny thing, because I usually try to get that, because I'm that fucking guy who's like, I get turkey bacon instead of regular bacon. And you want a side of fruit or fries? Oh, the fries, please. But make sure it's turkey bacon. I'm that asshole.
Do you want cheese melted on the fries with bacon bits on top of that as well?
Yes, please. But make sure it's turkey bacon. So now, I actually don't mind it.
Do you want that made with lard? Would you like that made with lard?
I actually don't mind turkey bacon, but and then I think it's really good until you have bacon again.
Mm.
Then you're like, why have I been having turkey bacon? Right. That's what happened this morning.
Oof.
Yeah.
And just the smell. When you walk into the house and you smell that breakfast bacon, you're like, I'm home.
Oh, it's the best.
Honey, I'm home. Ooh, ee, ooh, ooh, ee, ooh, ooh. Sorry.
What the hell was that?
It's a song, okay?
Oh.
It's music.
Oh.
It's background. It's whatever. I feel like you and I, Will, we just don't understand each other. Two different generations. You're Gen Z, obviously.
I'm very young.
Are you Z or are you millennial?
I think millennial. We've talked about this.
You're Brent still and
I are
millennial?
Brent and I are millennials. Okay. Technically.
Wow.
Technically.
And I'm a millennial too.
You're just a million.
Gen X, baby. Generation X. You checking?
Millennial age. Yeah, born 81 to 97.
And your year is
93.
Oh, God, I was 22.
You're 22 and 93?
I turned 21 and 92, so.
It's fucking amazing.
Wow, you were born after the first Snoop Dogg album came out.
That's what I said, too.
It's crazy.
Oh, fuck, man. That's
crazy. Snoop's doing a new show. Snoop's got a new comedy show coming out about the world's dumbest criminals.
And I like that he's hosting that.
Yeah, and I think he's working with Kevin Hart on it.
Oh, Kevin why Hart's not, dude? Company. He's hilarious. He's killing it.
Yo, these motherfuckers is dumb as fuck.
How's the week of stand-up been for you guys? Because you guys both kind of back out there.
Yeah.
It's
been getting good.
So I guess last weekend or anything?
Oh, I did a show in Venice Beach at the Venice Comedy Compound, which was a lot of fun. Great outdoor show. Good lineup. It was interesting because I don't know how people find out about these shows.
Yeah, I've always wondered that. How do you get people to shows? Like,
yeah.
No idea.
That's the mistake that a lot of venues make with us as comedians. They expect us to be the promoter as well. But I'm like, I don't have a massive email list or anything like that. So I think, Ahmed has a pretty big email list. And then also he, his shows are kind of getting a reputation. Like, Burr's done them and a couple of the other big guys have done them. But yeah, it was a fun show. Outdoors, it started raining a little bit while I was on stage, which I thought was just very beautiful. I mean, I'm crushing and then it starts raining and people are crying. Yo, it was crazy.
You brought the thunder?
Yeah. And then the background, all of a sudden, you just hear, can you take me higher? No, it was cool. It did start sprinkling just a little bit, but I didn't pay attention to it. But in my head, I'm like, ah, fuck. Am I going to be the guy that it just starts pouring on stage?
So fucking fucking wild.
Electrocute you know? Yourself and then you just die. Yeah.
But it was fun. I did that. I can't remember if I had. I mean, it's. I guess this is a good problem if I can't remember. I mean, because usually, you know, before the pandy, we were like, what day was I there? I'm just happy that I'm doing the Comedy Store. Like, yeah. That's what I, and the Comedy Store this week is back to full capacity in the original room. I don't know about the main room. Do you know?
I think it's all full capacity again.
Yeah. And the shows are selling out a week in advance. And Brent and I are going back to back like we used to back in the day, which we
love that,
which we call the half hour of power.
Was it Jayco Bimo?
Jayco Bimo show or the half hour of power, because we're doing 15 minutes each.
And what a fire half hour. Like, I love it. Nice. I'm so excited for you guys.
New t-shirts coming out, fire half hour.
That's good.
But yeah, so that's going to be cool. Brent, how many years has it been since the two of us went back to back in the original?
Oh, it's got to be years.
Five at least.
Yeah, at least.
At least 5 years. And we used to do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we would switch off him. But so I'm really excited about that. That's I'm wondering so if that funny. Was on purpose because of the podcast. Like if the bookers at the store are aware of the Lions Den.
Speaking of which, that's an interesting just comedy insight to talk about how once a place gets a new booker, mm-hmm. it can change your career.
It absolutely can.
And that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, my career. Okay. I'm not hating on anybody. I'm just saying things change. And before the previous booker, Adam Egitt, was the booker of the store. I mean, I was on the marquee twice a month. I was, and then that changed when he got hired, and I was kind of relegated to the 1 a.m. spots, and yeah. not once was I on the marquee or anything like that. And I'm like, okay. Based on his opinion of me as a comedy, probably. And of course, he thought that, and he was right in a lot of ways. He was absolutely right. Started booking a lot of these big name comics that weren't coming around for a while. He got them back in there. And I, you know, the way it works is I'm lower on the totem pole than a lot of these guys, especially when I didn't have any TV spots or anything at the time. But now the new booker is in. And now I'm back up to the other, and it's because her and I have had a relationship for these. I mean, she's the reason I was passed at the improv. I don't know if I've ever told you guys that. Hmm. Oh, yeah. The booker Emily LaForge, she's booker at the Comedy Store. I don't even know if she remembers this. It was so many years ago. She's the reason I'm a paid regular at the store. I mean, at the improv. Our buddy that we talk about a lot, David Sullivan.
Yeah.
He came to see me one night. We were all hanging out at the improv one night. And it was back in the day when Richard Villa had Refried Friday. And I was on the lineup. Sullivan happened to be sitting at the bar with Emily, who at the time was the assistant to the booker of the improv, Eric Abrams, who ended up moving on to work at Comedy Central. Eric Abrams was the booker of the improv back then. Emily was his assistant. Sullivan's chatting her up at the bar and says, my buddy Jason's about to go on. We should go in and watch. He gets her to come into the showroom and watch me. 2 days later, I get a call from Eric Abrams saying, my assistant saw you. We'd like to. And next thing you know, that's how I got. Yeah.
So cool.
And now, and then she was a big reason why I was always, I headlined the La Jolla Comedy Store a lot of times. She was the first one to.
She was managing that, right?
Before she was the main booker, she was booking off nights in the belly room. And she was booking the weekends at La Jolla. So, yeah, you know, and it that's why people don't really like it is so much about relationships in this business.
Yeah.
It really is.
Mostly that.
You know, I've never had a problem with Adam, but him and I just weren't enemies by any means. I mean, we were totally cool with each other. We just weren't buddy. Like, I didn't know him.
Yeah.
It was we were really just on this kind of relationship. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, buddy, good to see you. That's it. Mm-hmm. We didn't hang out. We weren't. I don't know that if he was. I don't know if he was a fan or not a fan of my stand-up. So I do believe that it's so important to build these relationships. But then there's some people, and tell me if you have this problem, that I am so awkward around. Like, I can't figure out how to become friends with certain people. Mm-hmm. And I try, and I sit there, and I just feel like an idiot, like trying to have a conversation.
Well, that's two different energies, you know?
Yeah.
I have that with comics. There's people that are funny on stage, but then off stage, I'm like,
this ain't gonna.
Yeah. I can't have lunch with you. I always say you're real friends you can have lunch with because yep. lunch is a conversation, dinner's an event, yeah. especially Brent. In LA.
I like
it really is because at lunch, it's daytime, you're talking, you got your coffee, But dinner could always be, you could be one of 15 at a table.
Right.
You know, like, oh, I just had dinner with Jerry Seinfeld, but he was probably on the other side and I don't know him. He doesn't know me. But dude, lunch, you got to actually sit there and be like, so
I want to.
There's a lot of comics I'll have dinner with.
I want to talk about what you just brought up. What you brought up is so, when you're not funny off stage, let me talk to comedians right now. I'm not going to say you by name, but when we're hanging out, don't have serious fucking conversations with me out of nowhere. Don't be so goddamn, hey man, you got to make sure, you know, we're not going to hang out.
Yeah.
We're not going to fucking hang out. Make me laugh immediately. And now we're buddies. That's why we're all friends.
Yeah. And do the silly and don't keep going, what do you think of this bit? What do you think of this bit?
No.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Also, don't ask me to get together and write with you.
No.
Oh. Hey, you want to get together and have a writing session?
No.
Huh. Let me think. Fuck no. And here's why. Because that's not how I write.
Yeah.
Also, why do I want to have a writing session with someone that I literally have nothing in common with? And my personal feeling, and I've said this on so many podcasts, I believe that the best comedy is honest comedy about yourself, like your life, talking about my life, talking about my marriage, talking about my kids, talking about things that make me angry. But if I have you going, Jason, you know what would be funny if you said this?
Try this tag about your wife.
And then it makes me feel awkward because now I feel like I'm obligated to go, ha, that's a good one. But I don't think it's funny at all.
Yeah. Right.
There's no more awkward situation for me than another comedian saying, hey, do you think this is funny? Don't ask me that. Dude, the worst I had, I'm not going to say what comic it was. I had a great set in the OR one night. I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast before. I walk off stage. He stops me and has me, he's sitting at a table in the OR with his notebook open and fucking paragraphs of notes. And I'm like, he goes, hey man, I got some notes for you. Have a seat.
Oh man.
I'm like, am I in a meeting that I didn't want to fucking have? Like what? In the room. And he goes, okay, the thing when you said this, and I'm
whoa,
like,
oh, I can't wait to hear this is off pod. That's crazy.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, now I'm to the point now in my career where, you know, I have my own voice.
Yeah.
You know, you have your own. We all. So I'm now okay with going, hey man, thanks, but no thanks. I like you as a person.
Yeah.
But this is not how I work. Mm-hmm. Not how I work. I don't sit across a table from another comedian at a coffee shop and like banter back and like volley ideas back and forth, because also I don't write with the mentality of, I wonder if they'll think this is funny. I don't write like that. Yeah. I literally talk about what I think is funny. As selfish as that sounds, if I think it's funny, I'm going to fucking talk about it. And we've all done that where we think something is funny, we talk about it on stage, and it bombs because it's only funny to us.
Like, whoops.
But that's how I write. It's worth trying. And then sometimes I'll fucking drive that shit home. I'll go, you know what? I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to keep doing it until people agree with me that it's fucking funny, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
sometimes
I had a comic get upset with me because we were doing a gig together where they met me at my house and they kept saying, let's write together.
I remember that.
And I'm like, I don't work that way. Sit down. It's the most awkward thing. They open up their, first of all, you know, I don't physically write. I can't read my own writing because of my shakety-daketies. Because
you're a doctor.
Because I'm a doctor. Because of the shaky shakes. But, and I don't write my shit down. I remember it because my brain works that way. But like, it was so awkward sitting there. And then this comedian actually got frustrated and mad at me.
I remember.
Because I wasn't doing what they wanted me to do as far as writing. I'm like, first of all, artistically, you know, everyone's process is a little different and we have our, so yeah, that bugs the shit out of me. I'll tell you who these comedians are off pod because I don't want to talk shit about them,
but
I won't say it on the pod.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, I can't wait till I'm back to comfort where I can improvise on stage and find stuff. You know,
I'm just now getting there.
It's gonna. Man,
have you ever sat across from another comedian at a coffee shop and had a writing session?
Not a writing session.
I could see a writing session about a TV show idea or a movie idea. Yeah. That makes sense to me. But like your stand up, I don't.
No.
It's just, I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah. I also never been a notebook guy.
Mm-mm.
You know, one of these people that carries around the big fat notebook of scribbles and scrabbles
in their back
and
pocket. Folded, rolled in their back pocket. Like, but a lot of comics, and I'm telling you this, they do it because they think this is what comedians do. I have my comedian accessories.
Yeah.
I have my backpack and I have my notebook and I'm going to set it on the stool and I'm going to read off of it while I'm in front of a fucking paid audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do that at an open mic.
Yeah.
But if I paid, and if you look at the Comedy Store's website and look at ticket prices right now, not cheap. So if I paid for a comedy ticket and then the comedian walks in, puts his notebook down and goes, all right, what else can I talk about? I'm on mic. Mother, what? I paid for this shit. Mm-hmm. Be ready.
Yeah, it's a crutch.
Be ready. Stay ready.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's a crutch of something bombs. Like, all right, well, what else here? What else? What else?
How many times when you go to an open mic do you see all these young comics walking around with their notebook? Because they think they're supposed to.
And also people keep going back to their notebook after every joke. I'm like, motherfucker, you're doing 5 minutes. You can't remember 5 minutes of shit you want to try? That's the thing that always blows my mind. I'm like, you're doing five.
If your memory's not working.
For 5 minutes?
Don't do comedy.
I'm like, all right, these are the 3 bits I'm doing work on.
Right.
It's like, I don't know.
I want teleprompters. I want, you know, those presidential see-through teleprompters that you see when they're doing your speech? I'm going to do that on my next special.
Wait, haven't people done that on their special? Did I make that up or is that a thing people do sometimes?
People do that for bullet points.
Really?
Well, specials, yeah.
When you do late night, there's a
But what about for like a Netflix special though? Do people have, like, did you have any sort of thing like that? I wouldn't expect you to, but I've heard, am I wrong?
When Brent people did his, I was in the audience holding
cue cards. They're written out really bad handwriting. Brent's like,
God damn it, Jason, and your shakes.
Yeah. Not working. That's all the sign said.
Boo.
B-O-O-O-O-O-O.
You peaked. Yeah. No, I've seen that. I've seen like when I was a PA, like Snoop Dogg would use a teleprompter.
For what?
For his lyrics.
Oh, well, you got to understand, though. Snoop is high.
I know. And he nails it every time, though. Oh, yeah. Like, so impressed by it. But yeah, I have heard of people who use a prompter, like right where they... the stage, but just bullet points of where their sets are.
You know what blows my mind about the Snoop Dogg thing? I was just thinking, when we were kids, he was really known for being an amazing freestyler. Like, that's how he started. He was a freestyle rapper. Like, that's what he fucking did. And it was the DOC from NWA who told him, you need to start writing. Because he would just go on the mic and just like, one, two, three, and like just like make it up off the dome. And it was DOC... they told him you got to write and got him into writing his lyrics. That's so cool. The fact that now he's looking at him on cue cards.
That's just fun. Yeah. And I bet he doesn't even look, but it's a nice safety net.
Yeah, it is.
You're in your 50s. Oh, my God.
You know
God.
What? It was weird when I did the Tonight Show and I saw my jokes on a teleprompter. That was weird to me.
Oh, so they just did it without even.
No. You have to send them. You have to transcribe your set, send it in. And because they have to approve it, because there's certain things they're like, oh, you can't say that. Yeah. There was one thing they took out of mine when I first submitted it. They didn't really give me notes, because that's what they'll do too. They'll give you notes on your set.
Yeah, I figured.
People that aren't comics, by the way.
Yeah.
That aren't comedians will give you notes on your set. And they didn't, they made me really proud. I'm like, oh, they didn't give me notes. But the only thing they did do is say, don't say that joke. Everything else is fine.
It was about
killing birds in a pool or some shit.
Yeah, Conan, you'd have the option for on a cue card of bullet points where your set is, and I just said no to that. I said, no, I'll just remember it, because if I look at a card, I'm going to get thrown off.
Yeah, because we're not used to it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering if they would have given me the option, because you remember my Tonight Show thing was like a whole last second thing. Like,
yeah.
They told me the day of that I was doing it, so I just was like, okay, and I just showed up. And you know those teleprompter box things where your things are going like this? Imagine me on the... So my kids and I looked at it and my first thought was, this is so fucking cool. Like, that's I'm cool. On television.
Yeah,
you know, there's a clock and a teleprompter and a guy going like this to the clock, which, by the way, I ignored all of it. Didn't look at any of it. I looked at the audience.
Yep.
But yeah, to see her that would have thrown me the fuck off if I was like, what's my next job? That's why it's so important to, in my opinion, to just remember this shit.
Yeah.
And the best way to remember it, that's why it blows my mind when they bring the book. Because most open micers, they're at like at least 2-3 mics a night, right?
Yeah.
How are you not memorizing this shit?
Probably scared.
Yeah. Or stupid.
Also, some people are just good writers that way. I tried in the beginning like that and I couldn't do it. And then I realized, I just have to remember it.
Wait, in what way? To write
Write it all out. And then I was like trying to memorize what I wrote out.
It's like memorizing a script. I don't want my jokes to sound scripted.
Yeah. And it wasn't working for me. So I just stopped.
A lot of people say to me, and it to me, I take it as a compliment. They're like, you know what I love? Your jokes, when I hear them, there's always something new and different every time I hear it. And I love that. Because how many comics do we know and see that it's just literally
the
scripted?
Same thing, yeah.
And everything's scripted, like a reaction and a, an emotion about the thing they're saying. It's exactly the same every single time. To me, that's, I don't know, it's, that seems a little boring. Like I would lose my mind. I have the bullet points, but I like to play around them, you know?
I wanted to ask this, B, have you done any sets since the bombing we talked about last week?
Oh yeah, dude. I did that Jam in the Van show, which went great. And then I did the Main Room Comedy Store, which I killed.
Oh
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Bet it felt so.
So yeah, how did you feel after
great.
Like you were like, okay, go, I'm back. I'm good.
Yeah, I felt more back at the Comedy Store. Felt like I was taking my time, you know?
Yeah.
Things were segueing properly. It's just honestly, I'm just excited to keep doing it more. Like it resets everything in your head. It makes you like feel better. So
yeah,
I'm just excited to be back.
How was the Main Room? Because that was the first time you did the Main Room probably since it reopened.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
It was spread out, right? It was like,
yeah, it was spread out.
That's what I was gonna say. What was it like? What did it look like in there? Because the OR was weird looking. Because
it was
how
still
spread
weird
out
looking
was.
There, and it was spread out. But the crowds are so good because everybody just wants to laugh right now.
Yeah.
So it's almost I can't tell if I'm doing well or if the crowds just really want laughter.
Well,
but judging from that bomb,
it was you.
It was me.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm bored now. So what I'm going to try to do is get canceled. See how that works out. I'm going to just try to say something horrible on stage. You get canceled.
Oh, wow, that'd be hilarious.
Nobody gives a shit about me. I won't get canceled because I'm not famous.
That's.
They canceled Jason Collins and who canceled him? His 5 followers. What about you, Wilbur?
Good. Pretty much up.
You still doing those shitty night. Open mics, right, Brent?
Whenever I don't have a show. Yeah. I just want to get up every day.
Did you do the park again with the helicopter?
Yeah. No helicopters though. It's been fun. Cause some people, real people will show up cause they're just at the park. And they're like, what the fuck is this? And then they'll come sit down.
Oh,
like yesterday I did it. And it was like fucking great. It was like a little show.
Is that Pan Pacific Park? Mm-hmm. It's a cool little spot. There's like a little area there that looks like a little outdoor amphitheater.
Yeah. Oh, and I did a nightcap last Saturday.
Oh, I'm
you
doing
heard of
that
show. It's in Burbank. You love
oh,
it.
Oh, it's great.
It's a great show.
A kid Aaron runs it. Aaron. It's a cool venue.
It was like, I was like, this is one of the best rooms in LA right now.
Oh,
like,
was really? Your first time doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that
unreal.
Show is awesome.
The chairs were like in the, there were so many people, the chairs were in the alley.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yep. Do you see the bar they have in the green room with all the signatures?
Yeah,
on?
I know. Mine's there too, but I picked a bad spot.
Sig's on there, bro.
What is this place?
It's called Nightcap. It's in Burbank. It's Aaron. What? How do you say his
Maliner.
Last name? Aaron something. Maliner runs it. Yeah. I'm doing it June something.
It's this little 23rd like outdoor show, but it's really intimate. And they have, it's like a ceiling and it's just like a perfect little setup. Yeah. It's really small and the audience is.
It used to be sick. Indoors and it was called the Comedy Bunker.
Oh, okay.
And they changed it to Nightcap, and it's just really cool the way he branded it. It's got a logo, and
it's always sold out.
Good comics are there. It's always sold out. You should do it. It's pretty local too.
I'm game to do anything right now.
But ooh, slut.
Yeah, I'm a slut for the stage.
Comedy slut.
Becoming a slut for the stage.
So you did it, and it was
so good.
Who else was on it?
Kelsey Cook, Steph Tolliv, I'm trying to remember one or two other people. Oh, Chris Fairbanks.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
He's funny.
But yeah, it was just a great show. It was just like, oh, wow, I haven't done this good of a show in LA in so long.
Yeah.
So like, because I don't get those door spots. So I'm like, this is the best show I have.
Yeah.
Last time I did it was like me, Chris Spencer, Jamie Kennedy. Mm-hmm. It's a cool fucking.
It's a great spot. Yeah. It's like a little comedy club.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. I got to do it.
Yeah.
Cool beans. We got emails?
Yep. We got a Would You Rather here.
Yes.
From Emily. Would you rather be forced to watch Dr. Pimple Popper videos or medical procedure videos?
Oh, I'm Dr. Pimple Popper because I actually can find those satisfying and forced like medical procedure shit. You got to understand, I grew up with a kid who's a doctor now, and I don't know how he found this, but I used to come down on Saturday to watch cartoons.
Right.
Oh, I swear to God, I'm going to throw up. I'm not kidding. I used to like try to go downstairs and watch cartoons. cartoons.
Fucking cartoons, hobbies.
And my brother would have the Surgery Channel on. I think it was on
TLC. As a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, well.
Ugh.
Yeah, he was just watching surgeries and births and stuff.
Births. Here's the thing. I'd rather watch the medical procedures, and here's why. Because with Dr. Pimple Popper, it's always the same thing. It's going to be some disgusting ooze coming out of a fucking gross thing. Whereas this, the medical procedures can be something different every time. It could be a knee surgery. It could be a ball surgery. It could be...
Yeah, but even watching House, I'm out.
Yeah, it I'm could be a replacement brother. Surgery. Like, that fascinates me. Like, replacing, like, your knee replacements and, like... Because, you know, I had the ACL replacement. That shit is fast. The fact that they figured out how to do that.
It is pretty crazy.
But with Dr. Pimple Popper, I'm like, guess what? And then all of a sudden you're grossed out and you can't. Yeah, and you don't want to have cream cheese on your bagel for a while.
That should make me sick to my stomach. That Pimple Popper
cream
shit.
Cheese. Cream cheese on your bagel.
See, I don't mind it. That I don't mind.
Yucky.
Any blood when they're opening
yucky.
You up.
Yucky.
Ugh.
She says, also, there's a documentary called We Live in Public about a guy who helped invent the internet in the 90s that broadcast his whole life online. There were cameras all over his house, including inside the toilet.
What?
Prior to this, he started an underground commune as a precursor to Y2K, equipped with a shooting range, drugs, bunks with cameras and TVs in them so you could tune into other people's bunks and other parts of the commune. And it was all broadcast online. It was eventually busted by the cops on New Year's Eve, but it's a fascinating, crazy story.
Holy crap.
Damn, so cameras, it's kind of like what we joked about having cameras
all over. You can watch them shit. If there's a camera in the toilet.
In the toilet.
This guy had corn.
So weird.
That is weird. What is that on? Where can I see that?
Drugs in his bunker?
Hold on.
So it's a documentary about the guy. It's not the actual.
I'm going to look it up. We Live in Public. Yikes. Like Truman Show, but like creepy.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
Yeah, me too.
It looks like it's just on iTunes and shit. I don't know. It's kind of hard to find.
I'll peep it out.
Weird. Now we got, who we got now? We got Victoria, childhood dentist trauma.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Hey, guys. Love the pod. I've been a fan of Brent and Jason since the days of Vine. Hope I can see them all perform one day.
I was just trying to find my Vines, remember?
Yeah.
Gone.
Mine are gone.
So if anybody can find a compilation of my Vines out there, please send it to me.
Look it up on, let's look up on YouTube. It could
be
there.
I already tried. It wasn't there. Really? It was just, Chris D'Elia came up. It was just probably shit I was in with him.
I'll try to keep this short. Episode 105, Brent talks about the dentist. I just wanted to share my childhood dentist trauma. I was probably 7 years old. I remember going into the dental office. I was scared and my mom pointed at the fish tank to help calm me. Then I remember seeing some creepy shit, like being rushed down a bright hallway on a hospital gurney, overseen by people with scary faces. I remember feeling very uneasy. This must have been a hallucination. Years later, I come to find out that the dentist had given me too many drugs, and I was complaining to my mom that I kept slumping over in the chair, and it was hard for her to work on me. The child, she just overdosed.
Wow.
I don't know what I saw that day, but I remember it. I avoid the dentist to this day. Damn.
All right, that beats me. Mine was just more, owie! And then I was like, I don't want to go. And then now it's like 60 grand.
Damn it.
And then
I should have gone. That's traumatizing. As a kid,
it's pretty
Brent's
fucking.
Just being a pussy. That is actually.
I really am being a pussy. Like,
I'm not. I'm. You know what? I'm the same. I'm terrified of the dentist.
I can pay a lot less because I've been working on the insurance trying to pay for this fucking dental stuff I have to do. And I could pay, I'm saying, thousands less if I was just willing to... In my like HMO or whatever, if I was willing to just have the Novocaine and like the Valium,
instead of being put under,
and I said, can't do it.
Can't do it. Same.
I said, I'll just be in debt for a long time unless I book a job.
No. P.S.
The move.
I'll include a picture that took some Lion's Den style search history to find, but it was a licensed photo, and I don't know if you can show it.
What?
Oh, that's what it looked like. She's saying like kind of in her way. That's
it.
Like what it looked like.
That's what it looked like for her.
That's kind of traumatizing me right there because that reminds me of the time my mom tricked me into getting tubes in my ears because she goes, "We're going to see Dr. Levine." I go, "Okay." And then idiot Brent, I go, "It's a little further." I realize we're at a hospital. I go, "Why are we at a hospital?" "Oh, look, Dr. Levine isn't here today. This is Dr. So and so.
You're getting surgery."
"Yeah, sit down, Brent. Do me a favor. What's your favorite flavor?" "Orange." "Oh." Then they put that on me. They said, "Now we're going to read a story, Clifford the Big Red Dog." I go, "Okay."
Yep. Did they make you count backwards?
Yep. And count then I woke up. I just woke up completely dry mouth and started sobbing because I'm in a bed. I'm like, "What the fuck happened?" And I thought it was my tonsils because I was so dry mouth. And then my mom said, and then I kept getting ear infections all the time. So they put these tubes in my ears. Then I had the tubes cause more ear infections later. So then my actual doctor, because it got real bad, because I couldn't hear went in with pliers or something while I was awake and pulled them like from my brain.
That was kind of satisfying. Like, or no.
It was excruciating.
Oh, okay. And then she says, PPS, you're all hot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That feeling of being put under when they say, okay, count from 10 to 1 backwards. I always get to about 9. I always go 10.
Or you don't even remember. You go, okay.
But it feels like this. It feels like you literally go, and the next thing you know, wake up, Jason. Like, and you're awake. Like that.
Yeah. That's what I want from the dentist.
It's such a weird fucking feeling too when you come out of surgery and you I don't want to open my eyes yet, and you hear everyone's working and they're moving you and you're getting like moved around and shit, and they're like, okay, and you're beep, beep, and it's just all this commotion happening around you, but your body just feels so fucking relaxed. Have you ever had major surgery?
Wisdom teeth.
One time I woke up before they pulled the tube out.
Oh God, Jay.
And they did. They said, take a deep breath. And I went, you know, the breathing tube.
Oh,
that they put
my
in?
Yeah. God.
Crazy.
That's fucking crazy what you just said.
They're not going to do that with me, right? There's no breathing tube, right?
When you're under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jay.
Deep. Deep in there.
That's a new fucking problem.
Yeah. And you're like this. And then they go, Brent, wake up. And you go, oh, tubes in my ears. Vomit on them.
Oh my God.
Oh God. I don't remember what movie it was, but
Jesus. Denise, why did you put it so fucking far down? It's in his ass. Pull harder. It went through his asshole. Did you fix it, dude?
You're going to have to come back next week.
Oh, fuck. Denise.
I can't remember what movie it was I was just recently seeing, and the character woke up and pulled it out themselves. I can't, what the fuck?
Oh, God.
But yeah, it's, and you're, and for like a week after surgery, your throat's sore because there's a fucking tube in it.
Oh.
Yeah. Jason,
yeah,
I'm
about
to
go.
I'm gonna have to. I have to have two surgeries.
We're gonna have
two different days.
God damn!
And I'm gonna be in Beverly Hills, and I'm gonna have to.
Not that it's dangerous.
That's Megan Fox.
Honestly, Brent Morin. Honestly, Brent. Not that it's dangerous.
If she ever said that, I would.
But can I have the? Just in case, can I have the Porsche? Or?
Oh sure. I don't care if I'm gone.
Look,
it's not a bad way to die.
Under no, that's the best way.
Just you're just gone. And then I'll just wake up like here, and it will be like puffins and fucking the dead bird. Like, what's up, dude? And I'm like,
we've been waiting for you. The bird talks crazy. Hello, Brent. We've been waiting for you.
Good thing you didn't swim in that pool.
And my little dog, Cokie, shows up like, oh, well, look who's fucking here.
The murderer.
Drown every animal. I left it open for you. Fuck you. You knew I was fat. I wasn't going to make it. You were worried about your hair. Now look at you. It didn't work, did it?
Did it. You died before it grew back, you moron.
I used to be obsessed with my hair when I was in high school. Oh, I would spend hours styling it. And I was just like, this
doing
shit.
Were you doing mirror face?
All day. Mm. And I the day Cokie drowned, I was looking at the back slider because you got a full thing. But I would leave that open so he could play in Rome. His little brother's dead. He needs to get out, you know?
Now oh, my God.
He got out.
He got out all right.
He got out of this world.
Yep.
Well, we have a question here from our buddy Amilcar.
Yay.
The Discord needs answers. Hey, guys. So the girls and I have been
girls and I
all up in the Discord about Brent. Several conversations, thus explaining P.S. Brent's hot, LOL. We've stumbled upon this gem of a pic, and we need answers. Why? Why? Why was this photo taken? Why this pose? Who took this? And generally, just all the questions to never exist about this photo. We're thrilled about the pic. I thanked sweet baby Jesus for this pic, but we need to know why.
What?
Oh, I know exactly what this is.
That's sexy as fuck, dude.
Okay. First off, this is used to be a huge fucking pet peeve of mine. So I was out with my buddy Adam Devine, which if I'm with Devine or any of the workaholic guys, we're getting fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a flight the next day, but we went to a birthday party and it turned into like a fucking, it was awesome. It was at the Roosevelt and there was
Sodom
all these,
and Gomorrah, right?
All these suites. And it was like, I mean, there was, you name it, you know, like every celebrity was there and so many pretty girls, and you just, I was having a great ass time. Mm-hmm. Still made the flight the next morning, made the gig. But here's my problem. That picture was taken by, who do you think? Rick Glassman. Because every time I come home after 2 a.m. and I'm drunk, Rick would love to pull his fucking phone out and do drunk videos of me or drunk pictures. So I was purposely posing like that to send to Dalia. And I think maybe I was opening for him. Maybe it was a long time ago.
Right.
But, you know, and when I'm drunk, he'll be like, can I post it? Can I post it? And I'll be like, yeah. But then the next day I'm like, yo, why did you do that? Well, you said, I said, don't listen to drunk Brent.
Yeah.
So there's so many videos. It's why I broke my TV by accident once, because I was doing silly videos because we're all hams. You turn the camera on and mix in fun drunk Brent.
Oh, I remember when you busted the TV bad.
You keep doing stupid shit. My ex-girlfriend said, you know, the only reason that TV broke is because Rick was egging you on and you kept doing videos. So it used to be a constant conversation with him. I had to like remind him like 1,000 times. Dude, I'm back in my house. I'm in my safe zone. I left when I hit the wall, so I wouldn't be like this.
Right.
So this was a photo I took, that Rick took, and that I posted that night, like, gonna miss my flight, you know, like,
right,
see you guys tomorrow and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what it was. It was my gig, but Dalia wrote, gonna miss it, you know? But
you
yeah, that was a Rick Glassman
Got
pick.
It. And then...
I do look kind of sexy there, though.
Those
I mean,
the good
sexy
old days.
For a... That looks like, you know what that looks like? That would be like the cover of my book, and in cursive it would say like dreams fall down or something like that, you know what I mean, when dreams fall.
Dude, your indigestion's killing me.
We gotta hurry up. I'm dying.
Oh wow, is it all the bacon?
I don't know,
should have had faking.
All right, man, nice callback ass.
This is too long. I don't want to do this. let's do this one. This is from Evan. Porn star in the name, not the game. Hey guys, Evan from Reading again. Unfortunately, that's not from Reading Terminal Market. That's in Philly. Whatever my head.
Reading Terminal Market in Philly is where it's like a food mart. Big. It's really cool. Best pastrami sandwich I've ever had, but go ahead.
All right, I'm just going to get to the point here. I was listening to Ep 105 and was dying hearing you all talk about porn star names. In college, I had a few classes with a girl with possibly the most porn star / stripper name ever. Randy Dollar.
Her real name?
Yeah.
Wow.
Will, please emphasize the I instead of the Y in Randy. Don't fucking tell me what to do. Randy. Yeah, Randy. That's what I said. Randi? Randi?
No, it's just more. I is more like it's like a stripper. Like
Randi Dollar.
Randy.
Yeah, that's a weird thing that's a weird instruction that he just gave you. I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. I don't know how
Randy
else
Dollar sounds
I think he's
like
just saying that it's more strippery because it's spelled with an I and not a Y.
Yeah.
Oh, is it spelled with an I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can't see.
I think that's what he's
trying. Yeah, Randy Dollar. Yeah. And then you think Randy of like Dollar. The British, when you're feeling Randy, it's a horny.
Yeah.
Randy Dollar and then money, you're a hooker.
That is a fucking...
That's a good one. Porn name, Randy Dollar.
And then he has one serious and one silly would you rather. Serious. Would you rather be able to perform your brand of comedy but are canceled and cannot survive financially off stand-up, or have to perform completely clean comedy against your comedic intuitions, but are still able to make a living off stand-up?
Jesus Christ, I need a bit of both.
It's an interesting question.
That's hard because I need to make a living.
But you cannot survive financially off stand-up if you do your own brand.
And I have to get another job?
Well, I'd taken two then.
Yeah.
Because I have no other skills. I can't be in an office. I sucked as a waiter.
You're
I
saying
as
number
a construction
two,
worker.
Just clean it up and be able to just do stand-up.
Yeah,
for
I sell my soul and shit. I get
none
a puppet.
None of us are that dirty anyways.
Just be like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I guess hey,
what do you think?
There Ooh. Goes my squirting jokes.
Thank you, Jesus. Bye, guys. I'd be doing these kid shows. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's fine. And then
next thing you know, I'm on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Herman.
Hi, Jason. How was work today?
We're like, Jason, you can just do your jokes clean. Just don't say fuck. And you're like, nah, I'm going to do puppets.
Do you know how many times I watch my set? I'm like, did I need to say fuck that many times?
Oh, yeah, I stopped.
And I can't post. The Laugh Factory posted a video of me, of one of my stand-up sets that got so many views, but so many of the comments were like, did you have to say fuck that many times? And I did say it way too many times.
Well, you were newer. Like when we were newer, I was saying, so I went to the fucking store and the fucking thing happened with the fucking, because it's just a nerve.
It goes away. It's a nervous tick.
But I would be like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brent Diamond and Lion Linus the Lion. Just, hey,
Brent
everybody.
Diamond.
Man, I'll tell you, this flight was tough. Whew. Hey, anyway. So God is good. You know? and the devil is bad. That's right, Linus. I mean, I don't give a shit.
It's yeah, silly. Linus the lion is
you make
great.
So much money.
Yeah.
And then here's a silly one. Would you rather have Britney be the next guest on the Lion's Den and have her deliver an exclusive expose on the conservatorship, or have Mr. Brad Garrett come on the pod and bust on Will for the entire hour?
Oh, that sounds great.
I would have to do Britney because then Britney. Our numbers would go through the roof.
Sorry, Brad, but Britney would
we could start
great.
Getting sponsors.
Be huge.
But I do want to see Brad shit on Will for an entire
hour. We shit on him so much.
I kind of don't do, too.
You pee your fucking short piece of shit.
Or whatever he'd say.
God, if we had Britney, we'd be on 60 Minutes, everything.
Oh, man.
Britney Spears, come on the podcast.
Yeah, Britt, come on. I'm sorry. I hope it's okay that I call you Britt.
I hope it is, too. He says, I love your positivity and humor on the podcast, guys. Thanks for all the laughs. Best of health to you all. Or best of health. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, Evs. I'm giving everybody nicknames.
Now we got a quick one from Greg. Intruder. Yo, it's your boy Greg Bain again. Just watched this movie on Netflix called The Intruder and thought of you guys. The movie stars Dennis Quaid, Megan Good, and Michael Ealy.
Oh, I've seen it.
So good. If you guys haven't seen it, you should.
It's
unreal.
Dude, he's so crazy.
He's so scary in that. I was so happy. When I saw that movie, I'm going to be a name drop here. I just finished shooting the show with him, and I wrote him like, man, thank God I waited to see this movie. You're just scaring the shit out of me. And he goes, and I can see you right now. Like, he started acting like the dude.
Oh, wow.
Tonight. And I was like,
it's pretty scary.
And you did ask a quick question for Brent. What was it like working with Dennis Quaid?
Fucking awesome. I mean, he was just super cool. He was a good guy to learn from. I mean, when you're doing it, you don't think about it as much. But when I when I wrapped it and I was done, I started just scrolling through like Amazon and Netflix, you know, like we all did this pandemic. I swear to God, it was like every other movie he was in.
And I was like, been doing it for.
And I was like, Jesus, so Brent, long. Is that just like ignorance that I didn't realize how many movies of my childhood he's been in?
He was in Inner Space, right? That's the one where Martin Short ended up being injected in someone's body and was living inside of his. No, Dennis Quaid got injected into Martin Short's body. It's a movie. Look it up. It's a movie called Inner Space. It's a comedy, obviously.
You know, he agreed to do this podcast, by the way. I got to hit him up again.
Yeah. Get him on.
He still likes me.
Yeah, 1987, Inner Space.
Or remembers me.
A scientifically miniaturized marine unexpectedly finds himself floating around the body of a hypochondriac and trying to outwit saboteurs who want the device that shrank him. Yeah. Like a good movie.
Yeah, it is pretty funny, too.
I made a shitload of money.
There's this, because Martin Short's character can hear Dennis Quaid talking to him. And there's a scene where he goes, I'm possessed. He thinks he's possessed. It's just so good. 80s, I think, right?
Yeah, 87.
Yeah.
Oh, Steven Spielberg.
Look at the poster.
It's Spielberg.
Yeah. Spielberg?
Huh.
Oh, he worked with Spielberg? Thank God I didn't do more research.
Oh, it's a Joe. Oh, I think he produced it. A Joe Dante film. Who's that?
What a name, huh? Joe Dante.
Sounds like an open micer.
I was about to say.
I don't know anything about open mics.
We got one from Nicole. My mom is a fan of you guys. Hi guys, I just had the best conversation with my mom and wanted to share with you guys. So one of the days that Jason and Brent will be at Gotham is my grandma's birthday.
Uh-huh.
So I asked my mom, do you think grandma would want to do something with our family on her birthday? And she says, I don't know. She said, I don't know why. And I said, because Jason and Brent will be at Gotham that day. And she said, and I quote, oh, seeing them is much more important. With a straight face, completely serious.
Wow.
Wow.
Then she says, can I go? Can you make me a shirt? And then she says, let me know as soon as I can get tickets so we can get the best seats. My mom might be a bigger fan of you than I am.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
I love meeting you guys.
Same.
We got some people coming out to Nashville. That's going to be great to meet them.
Especially now that I'm vaxxed.
Yeah, we're vaxxed and relaxed, so we'll do a little meet and greet. Okay. Yeah. Brent, meet and greet. Will, you're going to be fine here in LA without us?
Yeah.
Because you're not going?
Yep, be here alone.
But yeah, we can't wait to meet all you guys. That's going to be fun.
Now we got Natalie, so cute and so dorky. hey, fellas, just watched Jason and Brent being educated by Professor David Collings teaching Captain America 101 on the last episode. Definitely the cutest nerdy thing I've seen in a while, LOL. How about a dorky / dumb would you rather? Would you rather wake up from a coma with a superpower? And what superpower? That only works unpredictably and uncontrollably.
Oh, God.
Or find yourself in a face-off situation with a real person of your choice. And who would you swap faces with?
Oh, face-off.
Mine's
off.
Easy. Yeah, I would definitely swap faces with my brother.
Fuck. Cheated.
Boom.
Good one.
And then the fucking What was the first one about the this having waking up from with a superpower that's unpredictable?
Yeah,
my first thought before you finished the sentence was, I want to fly, obviously.
But it's uncontrollable.
That's scary as shit. So what I'd rather do, that if it's uncontrollable and it comes out of nowhere, read minds.
Oh, that's good. I was just going to say invisible. Because I'd be like, so then I told him, ting, fork drops. Because flying would be like, you know, honey, ever since the first day I saw you, and you're not super strong, or you're like, you're gonna die, so you just go right into a wall.
How's your date with Brent last night? The fucker just flew away out of nowhere, mid-sentence, made a hole in the top of the restaurant. It was really rude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and as for face off,
I'll text you.
Yeah. Fuck! how you guys doing? Welcome to the comedy store. Fuck, fuck. Face off.
I got mine, my brother, so I'm good.
Maybe Brad Pitt. If I get the whole body, I think I would look weird if I just had his face with this body. You know what I mean? That'd just be weird.
Mine's Julia Roberts, just her face on my body.
Go work.
Or Chase Crawford, maybe.
All right. We learn so much about Brent's insecurities about his looks, don't we?
Yeah. And by the way, is that racist that they're all white people?
Well, if it's just the face.
Like. Yeah, but that's my point. If it's not just the face.
And you all of a sudden, you're this white guy with a dad like body.
What are you going to pick, John Morant?
Yeah.
I'd love to be white John. Guy, his hair's so cool right now.
White
cool.
guy, dad body, Michael B. Jordan face.
See, I want Michael B. Jordan's body.
On my, yes.
And Steph Curry's face. Now. That seemed racist to me, what I just did.
I want my face with their body.
I just
want
to be Steph Curry.
Just be Steph Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
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 But he's cool. Busy being him, so.
He's so cool. Yeah. He lived in Orinda for a long time, by the way.
Where's that?
Warm.
But that's not the Bay.
Yeah, when he was on
it's
the Warriors.
It's the Bay Area.
No.
When he's,
right?
on, well, he's
when he's
still
on the Warriors.
Still on the Warriors, yeah.
Yeah, so oh, you grew cool. up in a rich-ass neighborhood,
yeah,
is what
Jesus
he just told
Christ,
us.
You.
Parts
so
of it. Parts of it. Mr. Not Silver me, but parts of it. Here. Yeah, but I thought that was cool. That we, like, right. Steph Curry lived in our little town.
Will's like, we lived in the maid's quarters of someone else's house.
Yeah.
Anyways, maybe we can finish with this one. This is from Angie. COVID can break your penis.
Well.
Oh, no. Apparently, COVID is linked to erectile dysfunction. And here's a link to the study.
That explains everything.
So this was a pilot study demonstrating the COVID virus in the penis tissue. This is the most Lion's Den shit ever. Up to 7 months after the initial infection. So what we know. Number one, COVID virus can enter the endothelial cells, cells that line the blood vessels supplying blood to the penis. Two, endothelial dysfunction typically presented in men with COVID can be a common denominator for erectile dysfunction. Three, COVID-19 is not sexually transmitted since it is absent in the semen among men who have recovered. And what we don't know. Number one, whether the severity of erectile dysfunction is associated with the severity of COVID. Number two, the true prevalence of erectile dysfunction among COVID survivors. So what men should do. Men who develop erectile dysfunction after COVID should discuss with their doctor if the symptoms persist to discuss treatment options, since ED may be due to underlying vascular disease, blah, 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 blah. So the point is, uh-oh.
My penis
I'm
has
not
never
sure
been
what
harder.
The point is.
My penis has never been harder.
Oh, great.
Like, I've been waking up rock hard, and it might be because I haven't been sexually active in a year.
Hard as steel?
I mean, it's never been that way, and I'm on so many antidepressants and Propecia, and that's when morning boners went away. Like, I could still get it up, but they went away. Boners went away. Mm. Now I'm waking up like I'm fucking 15 again, and I'm hard as shit, and I'm enjoying
ladies.
It. Yeah. I'm not having that issue. Sexually, I might be a little off in the beginning.
Oh, you're going to be a one pump chump for
sure. I'm going to be a straight out of prison guy. I'm going to go, hallelujah. Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. That cool. was fun. Are we done? Did we do it?
I think we did.
Where are we at on time?
Oh, it was about an hour.
Yeah. It works for me.
You okay?
Yeah. I'm just stretching.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Don't forget to check out those show dates. You can go to BrentMorin.com.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be officially have something up.
All right.
Well, I think the easiest way is the link in the YouTube description for tickets.
Also, JasonCollings.com if you want
to. Yeah.
And Patreon members still thing. worst producer ever. Hit us up for the UN Plus One if you're a Mufasa member.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's finally paying off to be a Mufasa member.
Finally, the world's reopening.
I know. So
fake virus that everybody was bullshitting about.
And yeah, I guess we'll hop over to Patreon. So we'll continue the pod over there.
Beam. Sweet. Bye.
We are friends, digging each other.